out of his head. A golem has to have words.
They gave their own golem too many, said Vimes. He picked up some of the coils of paper. Create peace and justice for all. Rule us wisely. Teach us freedom. Poor devil, he thought.
Listen. Dorful's alive.
The broken skull looked as empty as yesterday's breakfast egg, but there was still a pinpoint of light in each eye socket. A finger scratched on the floor.
It's trying to write something.
Vimes eased his notebook under Dorful's hand and gently pushed a pencil into the golem's fingers. The hand wrote a little jerkily. Then the pencil rolled away. The lights in Dorful's eyes dwindled and went out. Vimes looked at the scrawl in his book. Words in the heart cannot be taken.
We can rebuild him, said Carrot hoarsely. We have the pottery.
Vimes stared at the words. Do it. And when you rebuild him, give him a voice, understand?
A voice, sir?
Do it.
Yes, sir.
Vimes watched Carrot and the troll carry the remains out. Okay, Constable Angua, we're looking for arsenic. Cheery'll know. Where is Corporal Littlebottom?
I don't think I can hold on much longer.
They looked up. Cherie was hanging on the line of candles. How did you get up there?
I sort of found myself going past, sir.
Can't you let go? Oh, a big trough of molten tallow was a few feet under her. How hot would that be?
Ever bitten hot jam, sir?
Vimes pulled off his jacket. I'll see if I can climb up.
The wood's greasy, sir. My hands are slipping.
Turn around, sir, said Angua, undoing the buckles of her breastplate. Please, and shut your eyes.
What?
Right now, sir.
Oh, yes. Vimes heard Angua run, and while she was running, the footsteps changed. He opened his eyes. The wolf sailed upwards, caught the dwarf's shoulder in its jaws as Cherie's grip gave way, and wolf and dwarf hit the floor on the far side of the vat. Cherie scrambled to her feet.
It's a werewolf!
Angua rolled back and forth, whimpering and pawing at her mouth.
What's happened to it? It looks hurt. And where's Angua? Oh!
Vimes glanced at the dwarf's torn leather shirt. You wear chainmail under your clothes?
It's my silver vest. I told her about it.
Angua glared at them and slunk off behind some crates. Then they heard a voice.
Blasted dwarfs and their damn silver underwear. Throw me my clothes, please. But no one told me she was a werewolf,
Corporal.
If she hadn't been a werewolf, you by now would be the world's largest novelty candle. Right, I want this place searched. In a cellar, they found several boxes of candles and a lot of dead rats. Igneous the Troll opened the door of his pottery.
"Here, what's this?"
he said, as Detritus and Carrot came in with the shell of Dorful between them. Carrot laid out the golem on a table.
"Rebuild him. Use as much of the old clay as you can, and give him a tongue."
Igneous looked shocked.
"I won't do that. It's blasphemy."
"Oh,"
Detritus said.
"Statues of Monolith!"
He strode across the warehouse to a group of troll religious statues.
"Whoops! Oh, the arm have come right off. And what is this white powder what I see spilling on the floor?"
He licked a finger and gingerly tasted the stuff.
"Slab!" he growled. "You telling me about blasphemy, you sedimentary coprolith? you doing what Captain Carrot say right now, or are you going out of here in a sack?
Okay, okay,
Igneous muttered.
I'm doing it.
Detritus blinked at his finger, which was still white with the dust.
Did I just lick this?
Yes.
Thank goodness for dat. I'd hate to believe dis room was really full of giant hairy spy.
Detritus hit the floor, but happily. Vimes awoke around 4 o'clock. He'd gone to sleep at his desk. He yawned and focused on the report he'd half written. He didn't have any evidence. No real evidence at all. He peered at his notebook. Why had he written all this stuff last night about a coat of arms? Oh, yes. Yes! 10 minutes later, he was pushing open the door of the pottery. Warmth spilled out into the clammy air. He found Carrot and Detritus asleep on the floor. Damn, he needed someone he could trust, but he hadn't the heart to wake them. Then something tapped on the door of the kiln. The handle started to turn by itself. The door opened, and something half slid and half fell onto the floor. Vimes saw the burning man unfold himself and stand upright. Where it stood, the floor charred and smoked. The golem looked around.
"You," said Vimes, "come with me."
"Yes," said Dorful.
Dragon King of Arms stepped into his library. He sat down at his desk and began to write. After a while, he stopped.
"I smell you, Commander."
Vimes stepped out of the shadows.
"And to what do I owe the pleasure?"
"The pleasure is all mine. I'm going to arrest you."
"For what, may I ask?"
"To start with, complicity in the murders of Mrs. Flora Easy and the child William Easy."
"Those names mean nothing to me."
"No, they probably don't. The fact that you were poisoning the patrician, I consider a mitigating circumstance."
"I really do not know what you are talking about, Sir Samuel."
"Only someone who could fly could have got into my office."
"You've lost me, sir."
"And Mr. Carey was killed tonight by someone who could get out of an alley guarded at both ends. I know a vampire was in his factory."
"There are many vampires in the city."
Vimes stared at the volumes piled in the room. "Is Nobby really an earl?"
"The evidence suggests so."
"Your evidence, right?"
"No. Nobby's as common as muck, but he was convenient. People don't like Vetinari, even those who owe everything to him. Then young Carrot turns up, and he's got a sword and a birthmark, and dozens of buggers say, 'Hey, looks like the king's come back.' And then they watch him for a while and say, 'Shit, he really is honest and fair. Whoops, if this lad gets on the throne, we could be in serious trouble.' No, Carrot wouldn't do, but the news was getting around, so someone said, 'Right, let's have a king we can control. The rumours say the king is a humble watchman, so let's find one.' And you made good use of me, eh? Commander Vimes discovered him. That practically made it official, but I think people weren't too sure. Killing Vetinari wasn't an option, but to remove him gently... while everyone tried out the idea, that was a good wheeze. That's when someone got Mr. Carey to make poisoned candles. He'd got a golem. Golems can't talk." "I know nothing about this man other than as a customer."
Vimes strode across the room and pulled a piece of parchment from a board. "You did him a coat of arms. You even showed me, remember?" Vimes flourished the parchment. "I looked at it last night. Lamp au Poisson, it's called. A bilingual play on words, perhaps? A lamp of poison? You've got to have a mind like detritus to spot that one. And Fred Colon wondered why you had the motto in modern Unkian instead of the old language. So I worked it out with the dictionary, and you know it would have read, Ars Anixa Est Candelam. Ars Anixa. You'd said who did it and how. It didn't matter that no one else would spot it. That must have made you feel good. Because we ordinary mortals just aren't as clever as you, are we? He shook his head. Good grief, a coat of arms. Was that the bribe? Was that all it took? Dragon slumped in his chair. You are wrong about Captain Carrot. The city knows how to work around difficult kings. But would it want a future king who might really be called Rex? Vimes looked blank. I am referring to his relationship with the werewolf. Vimes stared. You'd think they'd have puppies? Such an outcome would be unacceptable. Dragon sat back. Mr. Vimes, there is, you know, no evidence that links me with any attempt on Vetinari's life. Did you really think you could arrest me? No. But I had to keep you talking, Vimes grinned. Feeling weak, are you? The biter bit, you might say? The vampire looked puzzled, then stared at the candles. You put something in the candles? We knew garlic would smell, but our alchemist reckoned that if you get holy water and soak the wicks, the water evaporates, which just leaves holiness. Dragon shook his head. No, that wouldn't work. Are you trying to trick me into an admission, Mr. Vimes? Oh, I had that, when you looked at the candles. Ah, but who else saw me? From the shadows, there was a rumble like a distant thunderstorm. I did, said Dorful. Vimes went into the oblong office and stood to attention. The patrician shuffled some papers on his desk.
It seems to have been a busy night, Vimes.
Yes, sir.
It appears that I have Dragon King of Arms in the cells.
Yes, sir.
I've read your report. Somewhat tenuous evidence, I feel.
Sir?
One of your witnesses isn't even alive.
Neither is the suspect, sir, technically.
He is, however, an important civic figure, an authority.
Yes, sir. And Vetinari will let him go, he reflected, because this is politics, because he's part of the way the city works. Oh, he'll be watched. And maybe one day when Vetinari is ready, a really good assassin will be sent with a wooden dagger soaked in garlic, and it'll all be done in the dark. That's how politics works.
It seems I've only got to be unwell for a few days, and you managed to upset everyone of any importance in this city. Workshop owners, priests, butchers, assassins.
Sir,
did you really punch the president of the Assassins Guild?
Yes, sir.
Why?
Didn't have a dagger, sir. Vetinari sighed.
It seems I really have no choice. As of this week, I'm giving you a pay rise.
Sir?
Nothing unseemly. $10 a month. However, to keep the peace, the golem will have to be destroyed.
No, sir.
I gave you an order, Commander. I distinctly felt my lips move.
No, sir. He's alive, sir.
He's just made of clay, Vimes.
Aren't we all, sir?
Nevertheless, I've had 9 missives from leading religious figures declaring that he is an abomination.
Yes, sir. I've given that viewpoint a lot of thought, sir, and reached the following conclusions. Our souls to the lot of them, sir.
What will you use the golem for?
Not you, sir. Employ.
As a watchman?
Yes, sir. Haven't you heard, sir? Golems do all the mucky jobs.
Angua was packing. The bundle mustn't be too heavy to carry by mouth.
The boots are a problem, she said. Maybe if you knot the laces together, you could carry them round your neck, said Cherie,
who was sitting on the narrow bed.
Good idea. Do you want these dresses? You could cut them down.
You don't really have to go, do you?
Well, sometimes I think Carrot's working up to ask me, but it'd never work out, so best to go now.
He'll be upset.
He'll get over it.
Her off-thigh-biter's asked me out, and I'm almost certain he's male.
Glad to hear it.
Cherie stood up.
I'll walk with you as far as the watch house.
They were halfway along Elm Street when they saw Carrot.
Oh, good morning, he said. Angua, I was just coming to see you.
He took off his helmet and smoothed back his hair.
I know what you're going to ask.
You do?
And the answer's no. I wish it could be yes.
Carrot looked astonished.
It never occurred to me that you'd say no. I thought it'd be something you'd want to do.
He sighed.
Oh, well, doesn't matter, really.
It doesn't matter?
It'd have been nice, but I won't lose any sleep over it.
You won't?
Well, no, I just thought you might enjoy it. I'll do it by myself.
What, Carrot, what are you talking about?
The Dwarf Bread Museum. I promised Mr. Hopkinson's sister that I'd tidy it up. A good dusting and a lick of paint would make all the difference. And there's a whole gorilla crumpet assortment he hasn't even catalogued. And some early defensive bagels.
I'll have to go, Angua thought as they strolled on down the street.
Sooner or later, I'll have to leave him.
But for one day at a time, let it be tomorrow.
Want the dresses back?
Said Cherie.
Maybe one or two, said Angua.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.